Hey nerds, it's time again for the answer of the week.
Wah, 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 wah.
Joe Patrick and I sit down and read your answers to the question of the week. Joe Patrick, what was the question we asked these guys this week?
This week's question this week was, what is your favorite year one story or retelling of an iconic origin story?
Origin updates. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where should we start? Should we start with Facebook? Let's start with Facebook.
I already got the Twitter open.
Let's
start with the Twitter. Our first tweet comes from Jason Wood. He's in the 11 o'clock comics crew.
We know those guys. They're good guys.
It really begins and ends with Batman Year One, which is, to my mind, the best Batman story ever told.
That is a safe call for best Batman story ever told.
And thanks to Jason for getting it out of the way, because about 8,000 people said Batman Year One was
there. There we go. That'll shorten this answer right up.
Our second tweet came from the real Keith Binder. Not to be confused with the actual Keith Binder.
This is the real Keith Binder.
The real Keith Binder, he is at Real Keith Binder, and he deserves a follow. His tweets are pure comedy gold.
I'm going to do that right now. I don't think I follow him.
Follow him.
I'm doing it right now.
He says his favorite origin update is Heroes Reborn. He says it gave the old outdated heroes fresh new origins. I can't get enough of Liefeld's oversized pecs and tiny feet. The real Keith Binder.
The real Keith Binder. You gotta love him.
Moving over to Facebook, our first Facebook response comes from Anthony Mathers, who keeps things in the same vein as Keith by saying, "I've got to go with the defining classic Metamorpho Year One," which is a thing.
Yeah,
that's a real thing.
I remember it. I actually do remember it.
Wade Lyles writes in saying Green Arrow and Batman, the Year Ones, I imagine, but Batman Earth One was fantastic. He loves that retelling. And Tony Bedard's reimagining of Starro in Rebels is one of my favorite origins and all-around comic book sagas. I miss that series so much. The Rebels series from a few years ago is really awesome.
I didn't read it.
Oh, it was good. It was good, and nobody else read it, and that's why it went away. Katie Coleman, welcome aboard, Katie.
Welcome aboard, Katie. It's female listener number 7.
That's right. She says that Teen Titans Year One is one of her favorites for the absolutely adorable art. It did have great art. Carl Kerschel, I think, drew it.
Yeah. Didn't he draw them all like little tiny kids?
Well, no, they were like teenagers.
Okay. But I remember...
It wasn't like cartoony like...
Okay.
Like mini Marvels.
I like Carl Kerschel. For the record, I like him.
Yeah, no. Teen Titans Year One is really good. It's very Silver Age-y. It does kind of harken back to that weird like mod time, which is what that book was all about back then. Our buddy John from the Burnt Wieners podcast says Punisher Born. I think everyone who's read it knows why. And anyone that has had any sort of interaction with me knows why. That's troublesome. It is Punisher. It is Ennis. It is bloodier than the ring at the end of a night of glass glued bare knuckle fighting tournament. That's brutal.
That is brutal. And it was really good.
I didn't really like Punisher Born.
I liked Punisher Born. I thought it was really good.
I actually loved Punisher Born. I thought it was fun. Right up until the point where they... We'll be generous and say that they only implied it. But they implied that he essentially made a deal with death so that his family was murdered and he could keep on killing. And I might be oversimplifying a little bit, yeah, but that was where I went, nope.
I think you're oversimplifying.
Still.
And it was like a moment where he was nuts and he was blaming himself and stuff like that.
No. Because all of that took place before their death.
No, I know.
Before their death.
But he was already crazy and stuff. Like, I think you're oversimplifying.
Yeah.
I think you're oversimplifying.
Dig it. Harvey Locust said...
We haven't heard from Harvey for a while.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Right.
He really liked what they did with Magneto in X-Men First Class, the movie, which I say... I agree. I would have watched an entire movie of young Magneto Nazi Hunter.
Yeah, he was great. It was really cool.
It was totally radical.
Great story, too.
Michael Fassbender?
Yeah, Michael Fassbender.
Our buddy Aura changes it up and says, Batgirl Year One. This was a comic done right. It had dynamic colors atop the Marcos Martin art. And there was a great story. It's so good. As a side note, he wonders if that story was kind of the beginning of the groundswell to bring back Babs as Batgirl. Because it was,
when
was the
first
time. That
was a while ago.
It was in the early 2000s because we were both working together at the time, I think.
Yeah, I remember it was really good. It's really wonderful.
It's wonderful.
2003. Yeah, I'm going to say no. That's probably too long ago to...
I don't know.
But it was a really
It was the first time in a long time, even in flashback, that anybody had really done a great
Chuck Dixon
Batgirl
and Scott
story.
Beatty wrote that one. It was really good. Really good.
Marcos Martin. That was like one of the first things I remember seeing from that guy. It is gorgeous.
Blew me away.
Brian Domingos, while he does mention Batman Year One, he says, I have a soft spot for Joe Casey and Steve Rude's X-Men, Children of the Atom miniseries.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really fun.
He says, Casey's characters have that young tone that he does so well, and Rude, well, what can't the dude draw? Perfect, almost period piece stuff, and the only shame is that Rude did not complete the whole thing. Asad Ribic wrapped it up.
But Asad Ribic still did a great job.
He's also great, but he's no Steve Rude.
He's no Steve
and
Rude.
And I totally get it if you're looking for a whole package.
It stuck out. It was like, pretty obvious.
Yeah, exactly. Matthew Damon.
It's a hell of a nickname, but I like it.
Says that not counting Batman Year One, which you have to take out of the running because it's so perfect, even my comics disdainful wife enjoyed it.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
I have a comics disdainful wife as well.
And she didn't get it.
I know what it's like.
She thought there were dudes in togas.
It hurts.
He says, I really enjoyed Geoff Johns' Green Lantern Secret Origin.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Totally agree. Yeah. Real solid one.
Shane Vanek, customer of Legend, friend of the show, loaned me the Batman The Dark Knight Returns animated DVDs that I watched this weekend.
Super great.
And they were so good.
Yeah, they were super great.
He says, Daredevil Yellow by Tim Sale and Jeff Loeb. Tim Sale makes that yellow costume beautiful. Hey.
That was going to be my pick.
And it's got two full pages of Helen Keller jokes. How can you not love it? I didn't understand that sentence for a second. And while it's not a comic, he really loves the Heart of Ice episode of Batman the Animated Series, where they essentially reboot the origin of Mr. Freeze.
Yes.
Which is something that influences the comics to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
There's stuff that happened in the Batman Animated Series that I took for granted was comics canon. Like the whole thing with Mr. Freeze's wife being in suspended animation. No. Bruce Timm and Paul Dini invented all of that shit.
Yeah.
I love it. That is a great answer, Shane.
Took a really dumb villain and made him captivating and scary and
tragic.
Interesting and tragic. And then later on, Scott Snyder did something to him that made him terrifying.
Even
more tragic,
kept the same story and then just added one little twist that made it super psycho.
Like, turns out you're nuts.
Jason Colner says, Green Arrow Year One. Diggle was at the top of his game when he wrote that.
It was really
good. No one
could
match him except Jock, who just so happened to be doing the art.
It was really good.
Great answer. I love that series.
Good answer.
Sean Quinn Robinson, welcome aboard, Sean, says, DC The New Frontier, which is in Elseworlds, of course. He says, this story alone is amazing, but the way in which Darwin Cook handles the origins of Green Lantern and Martian Manhunter and ties them in with the backdrop of real-world history.
Wonderful.
While including the rest of the would-be JLA, makes this one of my favorite stories ever.
Yeah.
I love it.
Wonderful.
It's not the origin. It's not an in-canon origin reimagining as we were thinking, but it is a great alternate take on the DC universe, and I adore DC The New Frontier. It's the series that made... I'm calling it. I think that's the series that made Darwin Cook my current favorite comic book artist.
Wow. I mean, I'm with you. I really, really loved it. I'm starting to think there's something that I saw from him before that totally sold me on it.
He did a Batman one-shot called Batman Ego, which is what kind of brought him to the scene.
I remember that.
He also drew the first six issues of Ed Brubaker's Catwoman.
I do remember that. Yes.
So
yes.
There's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Loved it. Loved it.
Andy Peters, who got our shout-out this week, said, I second everyone else's Batman Year One answer, but my favorites are the Batman and Superman Earth One graphic novels. I know they're not classics, but I really love them. We loved Batman Year One. We adored it.
Oh, of course.
I'm not as fond of the Superman one, but I can see why people like it. It's fun. It's but I really liked the Batman one. Oogerson, Maestri, who was so kind as to write to us many months ago, you may remember him, says he would like to add Superman Birthright by Mark Waid and Lynell Francis Yu.
I'm glad you did it.
Yeah, I did do it. It's a great retelling, kept me hanging until the final panels and made me a Superman fan.
It was really good.
Also,
really good.
He really loved the Big Blue as a vegetarian. Best PETA ad ever. And Roderick Ruth, with everyone going the way of Batman Year One, I'm going with Frank Miller's other retold origin story, Daredevil, The Man Without Fear.
He just stole mine! Son of a bitch! Nobody had said it! He just stole mine!
Miller grits it up as usual with an abusive Jack Murdock, but also introduces a mentor in the ninja janitor named Stick,
yes,
the Hand, and his infamous arch lover slash enemy, Elektra.
Yes.
While the art is no Klaus Janson, shut your mouth. It's John Romita Jr.
Yeah, it's J.R. Jr.
I think it's even inked by Klaus Janson.
Yes.
John Romita Jr. does a pretty good job with it. Frank Miller's incredible influence on DD just can't be denied.
The final
page. I don't disagree.
My favorite part of this was you did not see Daredevil in costume until the very last page. It was a two-page spread of him running as Matt Murdock and like taking off his jacket. And then pulling his mask on, and he leaps out off the building, and the next page is him in the yellow costume, just like with the clubs in hand. Like, oh my God, it's so good. It was amazing.
I do love that series.
Oh,
and wrapping up our Facebook responses, we can always count on Justin O'Connor to lighten the mood.
Oh boy.
Did Boris the Bear have a Year One story? I'll pick that one.
I think there was a Boris the Bear.
Boris the Bear.
I miss Boris the Bear.
Matt, do we got any voicemails?
We do have some voicemails. Our trusty Dungeon Master, who calls us every week, called us and said this.
Oh, guys, it's Jared again. I want to say that my favorite origin story would have to be Batman Year One. It was really good, and I'm sure everyone is barking the same thing. It's classic. And then that got me to thinking that the Bat family has produced a couple other really great origin stories. Batgirl Year One was also a joy to read. So was the most recent Batwoman origin story of Kane. That was really good. That also made me think of, for some reason, Adam Eve, her origin story from Invincible Universe was really cool, and the art was gorgeous and extremely visually hyperviolent. Oh, man. So, that's probably more than what you asked for, but that's what you get.
I like to think that he just gets super baked before he calls.
Oh, I guarantee it. I promise you. We got another one. From Keith Binder.
The actual Keith Binder.
We'll call him not the real Keith Binder. So we can differentiate.
Well, no, there's the real Keith Binder and the actual Keith Binder.
No, there's the real Keith Binder and there's Keith Binder. I like that. It's even more confusing.
Well, Keith Binder. And my favorite superhero reboot origin story is Superman Birthright by Mark Waid and Lynell Francis Yu. Yu's artwork is at its pinnacle in this book, and Wade, you know, generally can't be stopped. So check it out. It's awesome.
I agree. Probably my favorite Superman origin that doesn't count anymore. And may not have counted like the day it came out.
There are so many.
People got super pissed when that came out because they were like, this is a great book, but no. And they're like, this is not his story. Like, people were mad.
So, Matt.
Well, my Daredevil one was stolen from me, but that is my
favorite.
You
can still pick it.
That is definitely my favorite. Right up there for me is also the Saga of the Swamp Thing 21, the anatomy lesson, where Alan Moore teaches us that this whole time we thought Alec Holland was a man who thought he was a plant. Turns out, nope, he's a plant that thought he was a man. There's like nothing human about him, and it was really creepy, and it flipped the entire series like on its head from there on out. It was wonderful. I loved it.
That is a good issue.
Joey, what about you? What are you into? Whose origin do you like being updated, retold, toyed with?
I'll tell you what. I'll start with giving you my least favorite superhero origin retelling.
Okay.
Spider-Man Chapter 1 by John Byrne.
I couldn't agree more. It was terrible.
That thing is a piece of shit.
It was terrible.
It brought much unneeded updates to a timeless story that didn't need correcting. Yeah, it's cheesy that Peter Parker went to an open-air radiation demonstration.
Yeah.
But, like, there's stuff that they changed for no good reason whatsoever. Like, there's an iconic image from Amazing Fantasy 15, I think, where Peter and, or rather, Uncle Ben and Aunt May give Peter his first microscope, which, by the way, is something that people still use. Microscopes are very much still a thing. And instead, John Byrne and Howard Mackey, no, I think John Byrne is the only one to blame for this, decided that it would be way cooler if Aunt May and Uncle Ben gave him a really sweet personal computer. And then they decided that because they have the same hairdo, that Norman Osborn and the Sandman must be related.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, it's awful. It's not good at all. And Marvel ran with it for a number of years before never mentioning it again, thankfully.
It was all John Byrne, buddy.
All John Byrne!
Oh, you leave Howard Mackey out of this.
I bring up John Byrne's Spider-Man Chapter 1 because my favorite superhero origin retelling of all time is John Byrne's Man of Steel, which is the post-crisis introduction of Superman.
That's a very good answer. No, I can't believe nobody said that.
I know, and I like Superman Birthright is great, and I liked it.
Yeah.
But
we still don't know if it counts.
No, it doesn't count, because it's the New 52, baby.
And but even then, we didn't know if it counted.
No, it counted. It did a lot. Superman Birthright brought back a lot of stuff that had been forgotten in the Man of Steel reboot.
True.
The idea that Superman, or that Clark Kent and Lex Luthor were friends in Smallville, which is a Silver Age concept.
Okay.
That got retconned out. Superman Birthright brought that back.
All right.
And there are other things here and there. But I love Man of Steel. It introduced a much more human Superman. It introduced the idea that Superman is the mask and Clark Kent is the man.
Yeah, I would go as far as to say, like, it reinvented Superman.
It really did.
I mean,
like, nothing turns me off from Superman more than the idea of him saying, well, call me Kal-El. I'm going to go sit in my floating hover chair and write a journal entry with my brain diary. That stuff is wacky, fun, Silver Age.
Yeah.
But I want the idea of Superman being raised as a human being,
yeah, like,
and identifying as a man,
yeah,
not as an alien, not as an outsider. And that's what I love so much about John Byrne's Man of Steel. I started rereading it recently, and it still holds up. It's really great stuff, and he was at the top of his game. It was what he did right after leaving Fantastic Four. He moved over to DC to do this, and he had a lengthy run on the Superman books, not just Superman, but also Action Comics,
yeah,
which at the time was a Superman team-up book where they were reintroducing concepts post-crisis via that book. So that's where we got the first appearance of Checkmate and the first post-crisis, like, appearance of the Metal Men.
Vigilante showed up and, like,
oh, I think Wild Dog showed up one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love both of those runs on those series, but the Man of Steel six-issue mini that predates those is by far my favorite superhero retelling.
Thank you for all your answers, nerds. As always, we love talking to you guys. Please keep them coming. And hey, we're serious about this Skype thing. Call us. We want to hear your voices. We want to hear what you have to say. And it really is cool. Honestly. Don't be scared.
Just go to Skype.com. You can sign up for an account for free if you don't already have one. And send a message to username Two-Headed Nerd, one word.
Booyah.
There's a Skype directory. You can find us. It's that easy.
In the meantime, get to your comic store, get your pile. It's New Comic Day. What are you doing sitting at home listening to this crap? We'll be back next Wednesday with another edition of The Answer of the Week. We love you guys, each and every one.